Good morning. Notice how I punched that, huh?
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, well, at least it's not with the southern drawl. It's just with oof gone. Today is Monday, March the 16th. Yeah, I still got this stupid thing. 145th day of the new year. Joining us this morning is the bank dude. I say that flatline because that's about as excited as I can get right now, John Dalby. Oh, man.
Oh, Brian, it's so good to see you. And
see me in this condition. Thank
exactly.
you very much. Yeah,
Brian
yeah.
Papstein that has trouble talking. That's yeah. I couldn't ask for a better day.
Yeah, yeah. Life is good. Okay. Our quote.
Hey, Brian, what's the quote of the day?
Yes. You know what? Why don't you tell us, smart guy?
Oh, now I have to go to the other side of the room, get this. Oh, gee whiz. Okay. It is Confucius. Confucius tells us that what is most needed for learning is a humble mind.
Yeah. You know, if you know it all before you ask, it's tough to learn.
And, you know, speaking of that, when, you know, when you have an employee or somebody you're mentoring and they know all the answers, it's really, really hard to help them.
Oh, I had a little experience already this morning, huh?
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
And in fact, think about this. Let me make this really personal. When you're driving and your wife or somebody else in the car warns you about something that you saw, do you thank them for it or do you say, I already saw it?
You guys were both out early this morning? Yipes.
Well, it's something, you know, because we all have this pride when we're driving and somebody says, oh, did you see, you know, careful of that guy. Well, I saw it. And, you know, basically what you're saying is don't help me.
Oh.
And what if you hadn't seen the danger and now you've now trained whoever you drive with on a regular basis not to tell you.
My response? Huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where?
I didn't hear the thud thud.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't feel that one either. Oh, my. Let's talk a little bit about planning this morning. What is the purpose of planning?
So you have long-term planning or strategic planning, and then you have the objectives to meet those long-term. That would be your short-term planning. And it's interesting. Teresa Sims used to work for me, always had the same statement when we were talking about things, and that was plan your work and work your plan. And I heard it so many times, it lost meaning. But when you really reflect on that, how many of us go through our marriages, go through our businesses, and not really have a plan? You know, sometimes we start a business, but we don't have a plan how we're going to get out.
Can you have a plan without having a target?
Explain your question.
Target implies a goal, a focus, somewhere out there that you're aligning towards, attempting to hit, achieve. Can you have a plan without a target?
Well, your question really is, do you have to have a metric in order to have a plan? Because what if your plan is just to help other people? You know, so the question then becomes, what is your metric for how are you defining success?
Fine. Well, I'll look up the word metric, and we'll be back. It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're still can tell time. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with John Dalby. John, before the break, we talked about having a plan. Said, can you have that without having a goal or a target in place? And you said, metric. Okay, looking it up, all I could find was there was a, at one point, there was a 100 metric dash. and I wasn't.
It was the 100-meter dash.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Okay.
So I apparently got off the trail on that one.
So a metric is simply a measurement. You know, what is your measurement for something? And so usually we have numbers associated. You know, for instance, if your goal is to, you know, have X number of dollars in sales, X number of dollars in profit, X number of, you know, whatever it is that is, X number of clients. How are you measuring success? And that's really important because a lot of us strive for something that we haven't even defined. Generally,
and personally, we could probably use the word retirement.
Correct. Do you have a metric for what is or definition of what is a successful retirement?
When will you be able to retire? And what does that look like?
And in what lifestyle and so forth? So have you defined retirement? So the first thing is, how are you defining success? And then you build your strategic plan on how you're going to get there. So the answer to your question is yes.
So a strategic plan is something that can be applied to short term as well as long term?
Well, generally your strategic plan is how you're going to get to your long term objective. So it is a multi-year plan. Now every year you should be updating that and setting objectives for that year to get to the long-term plan.
So you bump goal. It each year.
Sure.
Bump it out, yeah.
So, you know, you set it and say, okay, I want to be, for you, a radio station with $50 million in sales. I got your attention, right?
I want to hear about your metric on that one, baby.
So, you know, if that's your 10-year goal, you might say, okay, my objectives this year are to increase my sales revenues by 10% and get to this number. And then I need to create more inventory and so forth. So this is, in order for me to get to $50 million in revenues, I need to do these things over this period of time, and these are the resources I need to have to get there. So, but unless you have that long-term strategic plan, it's hard for you to set what are the appropriate objectives for me for this year.
You're shooting in the dark.
Correct. And so you may be successful. You can still run a successful business year to year without a long-term goal. But, you know, after 10 or 15 years, you look back and say, oh, gee, if I would have set this as a goal, I would have this today.
Now, that's not a guarantee that you're going to be on target or that the target doesn't move. Is that the reason for the short-term goals, or the short-term goals just baby steps to achieve the long-term?
Well, when we go into strategic planning, the first thing we look at is say, okay, what is our long-term goal we've been pursuing? And is that still the appropriate goal? Because technologies, markets, various things, industries change, and you might be pursuing the wrong goal or one that no longer is feasible, or one that might be understated. You know, there's more opportunity out there than what you thought before.
Or may not even exist anymore.
Exactly. You know, there are industries that are disappearing. Technology is changing the way we do things. And we're seeing that in the banking industry, too.
Lumber mills in Humboldt County.
Yeah.
If you're trying to service the lumber mills.
50 years ago, who would have even thought that, you know.
Yeah. Et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
So when you are developing these plans, do you also develop canaries?
You know, and so what I assume you mean by that, or warning signals when, you know, and so generally what you're looking there is what is your exit plan? If things don't go well, if you don't meet your objectives, if the industry changes, you know, how am I going to get out of this? And so, yes, the answer to your question is, yeah, you should be very aware of, what the signs are for, your business not making it or your organization not meeting its goals.
I was thinking more of your customers' businesses not making it.
Hmm. Depending on the industry you're in.
Yeah. So you push it out. I mean, we both rely on others' businesses to be mm-hmm. successful. Okay. So what are the key characteristics that our customers are looking at, or our customers are, that are more all-encompassing, that mm-hmm. envelop everybody, but may not hit us it's not something that the FCC is going to do. It's not something that the banking regulators are going to do, but it's still something that's out there. Let's say employment shoots up to 15% locally. Did I say employment or unemployment? Unemployment.
Employment gets to 15%?
Yeah.
We could only hope, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, you see that coming. Obviously, that's going to cause some adjustments, and it's not of your business. It's more of the community.
Sure. And that's getting a realistic view of what your marketplace really is. Yeah, I don't know how many times I've sat down with a young entrepreneur that's got an idea, and so I go backwards in the math, and I say, okay, what is your margin for every widget you sell? And a widget is an imaginary item, by the way.
It took me all the way to a D+ in college. I hated widgets.
So, how much are you going to make per widget? What's your overhead? And then let's multiply that out and say, okay, how many widgets do we have to sell in order to break even? And once you get, if I said you had to sell 10,000 widgets a month, and you look at your marketplace and say, well, I could maybe sell 100, well, you may not have a realistic or viable business plan.
Time to put some fur on those widgets, baby. A little bit of diamond
furry
dust.
Widgets, yes. I like them.
It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop. Boy, I can't.
Easy for you to say.
We're back to Talk Shop this morning with John Dalby from Redwood Capital Bank. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. John, as you look at some of the long-term, short-term plans, put one in place. Great, we got all the various elements associated with it. We're monitoring whatever is going on. How much time is part of our planning, not the initial, but the monitoring of it, to make sure that it's on the path that a major customer isn't about to go hooves up, or their industry isn't about to consolidate or to disappear or be regulated differently, all those types of things? Because I can see it full-time. It could be a full-time department if you wanted to go really crazy.
So, I'm a firm believer that you should be reviewing your strategic plan objectives on at least a monthly basis. That's the way we do it. And we do it because that's what we believe in, is that every month we monitor and say, okay, are we making progress towards our strategic plan? Are we on budget? Are we hitting our certain, the numerical objectives? And when the industry or circumstances change, then we have to be willing to stop it and say, look, we need to reassess our strategic plan because circumstances have changed. And before you ask me another question, I've got to put in a plug for the Rotary Club of Southwest.
I was going to give you the whole last segment to talk about
you
it.
You were?
Not just a 30-second pop.
Okay. I'll wait then.
Okay. Just because
I'll talk about martinis on the bay later.
There you go. So you're making the decision whether to continue or to reassess some of the basic fundamentals of your long-term and short-term plans. You guys have got a lot of employees. Okay. How many man hours does it take?
Person hours?
No, man hours. Monthly to accomplish your goal of evaluating and monitoring long-term, short-term plans?
Well, because we do all the financial reporting anyway, it really doesn't take much. And what I've done is, for our business, is we have about a half dozen metrics, measurements, that we use on a monthly basis and say, okay, are we meeting, you know, our margin goals? Are we meeting our growth goals? Are we meeting our leverage goals? Are we meeting our customer service goals? Are we meeting our leverage numerics?
Most of those are readily available by hitting a button on the computer.
Correct. And then some of them we have to do surveys. So with customer service, we do a semi-annual survey of our customers to see how we're doing. And then we do an annual evaluation of leadership. So we measure that.
And
then we do an annual evaluation of the board's effectiveness. And then other than that, there are financial metrics that we use. Those are all designed to get to the end of our current year where we want to be so that we can hit our five-year goals.
So for businesses that either don't have the structure that you've got, or that entrepreneur that's starting out, that, you know, he may have an Excel program, and that's where he's coming from or she's coming from. How do they then try to identify what's best for them? Is they're in their startup mode, and either things are going wild, stupid, crazy, because they're just starting up, and, you know, doubling still isn't going to buy you a bag of chips, but it's getting you in the right direction, versus a mature business.
Yeah, financial monitoring is really important because you can be doing the wrong activity, and by doing more of the wrong activity can actually be going in the wrong direction if you don't understand the numbers of your business. So you need to understand how it works, and you need to understand, if I'm selling this particular product or service, am I making money on it? Because if you're losing, you can't make it up by volume. And it's amazing how many times I've talked to somebody whose their top-selling item is at such a small margin or a negative margin that it's actually hurting them.
That's why I was wondering with a retailer, somebody who's got, and a manufacturer obviously as well, somebody who's got such a wide variety of different items, different margins, different market demands, how do they stay abreast of it all? Because you can have that margin if it's a margin for the sales of this month. Who knows where things are hiding inside of that?
Mm-hmm. And a lot of things are counterintuitive. So for some businesses, literally, if you need cash, you need to reduce your sales. Which sounds absolutely backwards.
Unless you think you have to restock the shelf.
And it depends on, you know, it really depends on your particular business, the margins, how much you carry in AR, how much you carry in inventory, and so forth. So it's not true for all businesses, but there are businesses in which, you know, somebody says, I'm cash short, I have a cash need coming up, and so they increase sales, and it makes the problem worse, not better. And the reason being is that the cost of that growth is greater than the profitability of that growth. So you need to understand those things. If you do understand your business in that way, you can make better decisions as to how you're going to accomplish what you want to accomplish.
How do we get over the hump?
Exactly.
To that next plateau.
And so if I want to grow by a percentage greater than my profitability, then I need additional cash to do so. And so I need to plan, because I've projected out that I need additional capital.
And where to go for that capital.
Exactly.
Yes. Redwood Capital Bank.
That is an option.
Could come to mind, yeah.
That or the Bank of Bryan.
Not so much so. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:42. How'd I get sucked in on that one? We'll be back with more from Mr. Dalby.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mr. Martini.
What?
John Dalby.
You hurt my feelings. Well, if I had one.
No, wasn't that a character in It's a Wonderful Life?
Mr. Martini? Yes, it was. I believe he was the guy who owned the bar.
Stranger
Ironically.
Things. Yeah, gee, yeah. Imagine that. Okay. So doing your best, Jimmy Stewart. Go forth.
So on behalf of the Rotary Club of Southwest Eureka, and by full disclosure, I will tell you I am a member of that club. They haven't thrown me out, which surprises me, but it's still there. We are having our Martinis on the Bay event. It is on June 2nd. If you haven't been to it, it is an opportunity to taste various martinis. And so we have some people from around the community that will be providing those martinis. And you get a little sample of each one, and then you can buy a big one if you want.
So if you haven't had a martini before, what is this event like?
Well, first of all, the martinis are not terribly traditional, so you have some pretty, you know,
ants,
sweet
flies,
sweet no
oh, okay.
sweet stuff. So, for instance, the Ingemar Club will have their Sweet Heat Martini. Seamus T-Bones will be providing their Cafe Margarita. Gabriel's, which is always a very popular one, will have their Citrus Martini and their Moonlight Manhattan. Restaurant 301, the Cucumber Mist, Cafe Waterfront, easy for you to say.
Front, yes, yes.
Cafe Waterfront will have their Dirty Martini.
Now that one sounds interesting.
Yeah. Ernie's has the Ernie's 57 and the Cool as a Cucumber Martini.
So now that's two cucumbers.
Salt Fish House has the Tie Me Up, T-H-A-I, Tie Me Up, and the Pamplemousse, if I have that pronounced right. So again, it's 5 to 7, June 2nd, and at the Wharfinger. And if you want tickets, you can go to any Redwood Capital Bank branch and purchase tickets.
You don't have to bring your own martini mix.
No.
So what is a martini?
Well, first of all, being a relatively non-drinker, you've really asked the wrong guy.
That's all right.
But my understanding is a martini, if there's gin or vodka, there's various things, but it's basically use vodka. I'm not very good at this. Vodka with a little bit of vermouth, and you cool it with ice and then pour it out without the ice. And then you put something good in it like the olive, which is the best part for me.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm obviously not a martini drinker.
And again, that's on the 2nd. So that's the first
June
Thursday of June.
That's correct.
At the Wharfinger. Tickets at any of the bank branches.
Correct.
Good deal. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Always good to see you, Brian.
Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you then.